This is a summary of Sheikh Salman's address to the conference. After praising Allah Azza wa Jal and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to invoke his blessings upon his prophet, the Shaykh recited the verse from Surah Al-Ahzab that Allah and his angels, that Allah praises his prophet in front of his angels, and his angels ask Allah for mercy for the prophet. O you who believe, ask Allah to praise his prophet before his angels. And then the Shaykh greeted the attendees at this conference and the conference support staff, and said, I would like in the beginning to thank these brothers and sisters and honor you for fulfilling this obligation, for coming to this conference to discuss amongst one another the best means and the best ways and most effective ways in order to support and defend the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We all know that defending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allows us to achieve the obligation which Allah has set upon us to show the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam our wala, or our support. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has commanded us in more than one passage to support the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to honor him and to follow the light which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him with. And for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not like any other individual. Indeed, our love for him comes in our hearts due to the fact that he is the final prophet, that he is the best of all humanity, and that he is the leader of all the prophets. And so therefore he has a right upon us, obligated upon us by Allah Azza wa Jal, that we must stand with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all ways in order to support him. We know that this attack against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's personality by these Christian fundamentalists who represent the right-wing extremists in the United States is part of a general attack on the religion of Islam. And while perhaps the statement of a particular preacher in his accusation on public television that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a terrorist might have brought us here to this conference, indeed the matter is larger than that. And how odd is this attack on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by accusing him as a terrorist, when if we look at his seerah, his life history, we know that he is further from this. For instance, there is a very famous incident during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was resting under the shade of a tree, and one of the pagans surprised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and took had a sword with him and said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Who will defend you now?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not having any weapon, said, "Allah." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pulled the sword out of the hand of the pagan and asked the pagan, "Who will defend you now?" The pagan replied, "No one can defend me." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then presented Islam to the pagan, called the pagan to Islam, but this idol worshipper chose not to be a Muslim. But he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "However though, I promise that I will neither fight you nor be in amongst people who will wage war against you." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted that from him and allowed him to go his way. Also, we have the story of another idol worshipper who, when captured in battle and was put in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prisoner of war and was tied to one of the pillars of the Prophet's mosque, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 3 days would come to him every day and present Islam to this pagan. And every time the idol worshipper would refuse to accept the shahada. And so finally the third day it was agreed that he would leave. So he was let free. He left Medina and then made ghusl and returned back and said his shahada before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did this so he wanted to make sure that people knew that he didn't take his shahada out of duress or out of fear because he was a captive, but rather just to show them that he did it out of his own free volition. And how much more can we show that this attack of the upon the Prophet ﷺ, that he is a terrorist, is false, than just looking at the incident when the Prophet ﷺ returned back to Mecca, purifying Mecca, the house established by the Prophet Ibrahim ﷺ for the worship of Allah, purifying it from the idols. And these Meccans who had humiliated the Prophet ﷺ and companions, who had fought against the Prophet ﷺ, who evicted the Prophet ﷺ's companions, first to Ethiopia, and then thereafter to Medina, who killed the Prophet ﷺ's companions, when the Prophet ﷺ returned to Mecca victorious and had the city under his control, he asked them, "How do you think I will treat you now?" They replied, "We only expect that you will treat us in the best manner, for indeed you are a noble brother and the son of a noble brother." So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Yes, I will only treat you in the best manner. Indeed, you have been set free." And so war, we know, is not always an evil. Indeed, war many times needs to be justified in order to protect oneself from the attack of those who wish evil unto you. And no nation can live neither in the past nor in present, except that it must at some times enter into war. However, though, when we look at the difference between how the Prophet ﷺ engaged in war and how these people engage in war, we know that while everybody claims that their war is a just war, the historical facts prove that what the Prophet's behavior during war and peace was that only of the most highest character, unlike the people who seem to attack the Prophet who are from nations which are known to shed much blood. Indeed, many Western historians and philosophers and thinkers and people of the arts and letters, upon reading the life of the Prophet ﷺ, have acknowledged much of his character that should be acknowledged and have testified to much of the truth which is in his life. We might just mention one example, that when the author who wrote the book of the 100 most influential people in history, he was only compelled to rank the Prophet ﷺ as the most influential person. And this, of course, is not to be surprising, because if anybody reads anything of the Prophet ﷺ's nobility and his character and his personal behavior and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him from guidance and from teachings, one can only come to the conclusion that he is the greatest of all of humanity and the most influential upon humanity in the best way. Indeed, many people, upon reading the life of the Prophet ﷺ, even though they might not be Muslims, become to learn to love the Prophet ﷺ. For one unique characteristic of his life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that there are no secrets in his life. There are no hidden matters of his life. Even his most personal affairs, those matters that dealt between him and his wives, this was something which is known in open, and there's nothing hidden or nothing to be ashamed of or nothing to be found that needs to be defended or needs to find an explanation for. Any one of us knows that his closest friend, or even maybe his own blood brother, you do not know anything about maybe what's going on in his personal life between him and his wife. But yet the Prophet ﷺ's life is open to us all in every single aspect, so that it may remain an example for us to follow. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, indeed you have in the Messenger of Allah a beautiful example to follow. This attack upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of a general attack upon Islam that leaves no stone unturned. Anything that deals with Islam is now under attack. And first and foremost, of course, is going to be the person of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, it is so odd that we Muslims, because we have been taught by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we must believe in all the prophets, we must love all the prophets, we must respect all the prophets, if we were to hear of any word being said regarding the Prophet Musa alaihi salam, or the Prophet Isa, Jesus alayhi salam, any negative word or any insinuation, we would take this as an attack upon our religion, because we have been taught to believe and to love and respect all the prophets. And that is because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with a message which confirms to their message and which stands as a guard over those messages, abrogating which is to be abrogated, and correcting which was that which was corrupted by the followers of these prophets thereafter. It is a summary and a perfection of all the previous messages. And it is to be eternal until the end of time. And so therefore it is an obligation upon each and every one of us that we must choose to support the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we cannot gather our ummah upon supporting, upon this issue of supporting and defending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it means we cannot gather the ummah upon any matter. For as we know, often there are, because of differences in madhab or differences in party affiliation, Muslims place barriers between them and their fellow Muslims in achieving the aims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established in the Sharia. But this is an issue to which we cannot differ upon, because this is the foundation of our religion. And so therefore what is required of each and every one of us is not just open words, not just empty slogans, but practical measures to defend this Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life and seerah. And then to take the truth of the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the truth of his life, and use every single media means and all sorts of available ways of communication in order to take this to every single person on earth. We must address all of humanity, whether those who are living in the West or those living in other parts of the world. Address them by the way the Sharia commands us, and reach every single human being and inform them of who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was and what was his message sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so therefore this conference can be thought of as the spark which will lead to this activities, and it is upon for us all to gather and assist every one of us in the best of their means, as Allah commands us in the Quran that you should gather together and assist each other in righteousness and piety. We need to assist in spreading this message, and take the opportunity in turning this issue into a positive one. And finally, it is permissible for us also to do comparison and contrast. When we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was forced to engage into war, if we look at the wars that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was forced to engage in, we find that the total number of people who were killed were just a few hundred. Yet the nation from which these preachers come from were able to kill 250,000 people with a single bomb in Japan in World War II. Which of the two nations is more blood letting? Which of the more two peoples are more merciful unto humanity? So again, the Sheikh, to summarize what he was saying, is that he encouraged all of us to take this matter seriously and to study, begin by, let us revive the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only amongst our fellow Muslims, but introduce humanity to his life, as this is one of the best means of da'wah, because so many people became Muslim during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just because of the Prophet's character. So when engaging in da'wah, teaching the people who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, who they have, the Prophet was sent to them specifically, alayhi salatu wasalam, is one of the best means of da'wah. And the Shaykh concluded by again thanking the attendees and those who set the conference up, asking Allah Azza wa Jal to bless them all for their attending this conference and coming together for this noble matter. Wa jazakum Allahu khairan.